This month, the Michigan State University is reflecting on a landmark moment in its 16-decade history. On February 11, 1965, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. came to campus to launch a fundraising drive for a program that would send volunteers on an educational outreach mission to Mississippi. During that speech, Dr. King called for what would later become the Voting Rights Act of 1965.
We need new federal legislation that will bring into being federal registrars. And this is asking for nothing new. The great president of this university, who has served in such a magnificent manner with the Civil Rights Commission, joined with that commission in making a recommendation years ago that there should be federal registrars after studying the patterns of discrimination all over the South.
50 years later, MSU is again studying civil rights with a three-part visiting lecture series that begins today. Congressman John Lewis of Georgia is the first in a lineup that includes singer and activist Harry Belafonte and the Reverend Al Sharpton. Mr. Lewis was a freedom rider. He spoke at the March on Washington in 1963, where Dr. King delivered his famous I Have a Dream speech, and he was at the Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama, the story of which many people are coming to know for the first time in the movie Selma. WKAR's Kevin Lavery spoke with Congressman Lewis last August when he visited MSU. At that time, he was talking about his graphic novel called March, Book One, which documents the Selma episode.
My staffer, a young man by the name of Andrew Iden, came to me in 08 and said that I should write a comic book, and I said no. And he kept coming back over and over again. And I finally said, yes, if you do it with me. Much earlier, in 1958, I read a little comic book called Martin Luther King Jr. and the Montgomery Story. Told the story of the struggle in Montgomery when Rosa Parks took her seat and refused to get up. And that book inspired me. That book influenced me and a whole generation of young people. And I was convinced that we should do it. And because of that conversation with Andrew Iden, we have the book, and it's been very successful. March, book one, will be followed by book two and book three. It is my hope that it would inspire another generation of young people to find a way to get in the way and get in what I call good trouble, necessary trouble.
You will be the leaders of the 21st century. You must find a way to get in the way. You must find a way to get in good trouble and make our society, make our country a better country, make our world a better world community.
I think that was the summation of your entire speech.
Well, I've been saying it for a while, and I believe there come a time when you see something that is wrong, that is not right and not just, you have to get up and do something about it. Speak up, speak out. And you may get arrested and go to jail, you may be beaten, but you happen to change things.
Do you feel that the very definition of civil rights changes with the times? Today we have the LGBT community, we have immigrants. Do they have different expectations about what they believe their civil rights are?
Well, the struggle is one of the same. You cannot have civil rights for one group and not civil rights for all people. I think the immigration fight, the fight for the gay community is built on the civil rights movement. You must have equality for everyone. No one can be left out or left behind. My position is very simple, that you cannot discriminate against people because of sexual orientation. And you cannot discriminate against people because they may be living here, and some people have said they're illegal. In my book, there's no such thing as an illegal human being. We all come from some other place except Native American. So we must learn to live together as brothers and sisters, or we will perish as fools, as Dr. King suggested.
In your experience, what does it really take to teach people not to indoctrinate their children with an indoctrination of hate? And what does it take to win hearts and minds?
Well, I think it's important to say to young children when they're very, very young, by living a life of inclusion, children learn. They learn, they observe very, very well. And some little children, you see them, you meet them, it seems like they've been here before. They follow examples. I hear children say, I grew up in a home where we didn't put people down because of their race, or their color, or their nationality. And that's a good thing. We have to say to young children, and to all children, that hate is too heavy a burden to bear, that love is a better way, to be kind, to live in a world of peace, in a world of freedom and inclusion is the best possible world.
Today's generation has an activist spirit. Much of it now is through social media. Is it still as vibrant in your estimation?
Social media is powerful. It brings people together, but I also think there still is a need for people to be visible, to be able to march, to be seen together. And that's what was so powerful about the civil rights movement. Dr. King would say, there's not anything more powerful than the marching feet of a determined people. To see people walking in a silent march, not saying a word, across the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma almost 50 years ago.
It'd be detrimental to your safety to continue this march, and I'm saying that this is an unlawful assembly. You have to disperse. You are ordered to disperse, go home, or go to your church. This march will not continue.
But to see hundreds and thousands of people marching on Washington.
We are tired of being beaten by policemen. We are tired of seeing our people locked up in jail over and over again. And then you holler, be patient. How long can we be patient? We want our freedom and we want it now.
To see young students sitting in at lunch counters, or to see blacks and whites and others getting on a bus to ride through the South, to say that we will not tolerate segregation and racial discrimination. That's powerful.
Do you feel that there is a sense of sacrifice today, or is there a strong sense of entitlement that doesn't feel like it did in the 60s?
Now, I think many young people today are learning from the 50s and the 60s. That's why March, Book One, I think is so important for people to understand what we did and what we were able to accomplish. So when people said nothing has changed, and just said come and walk in my shoes, the world is different. It's a better world. The signs that I saw when I was growing up saying white, color, they're gone. They will not return. The only places our young people, our children going to see those signs will be in a book, in a museum, or on a video.
March 7th is the 50th anniversary of the march in Selma. What are your plans to commemorate that?
Well, we are in the process of planning. We plan to go back to Selma, back to Montgomery. We are inviting President Barack Obama, President Clinton, President Carter, President Bush, two members of the Kennedy family, members of the Johnson family, and hundreds and thousands of Americans to return to Selma and to Montgomery. Because 50 years later, it's an unbelievable country we live in. We're not there yet, but we're still on our way. It's better, much better.
Congressman John Lewis represents Georgia's 5th Congressional District. He is a civil rights leader and icon and the author of March, Book One. Thank you, Congressman Lewis.
Well, thank you very much, sir.
For Current State, I'm Kevin Lavery.